Good morning. Welcome to Sunday. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Psalm 95, parts thereof, say, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. O that today you would listen to his voice. We're now going to sing our first hymn. Now, I've been told that I'm too tall, so I'll be shifting out of the way so people can see that screen.
They have the second screen they can look at.
Please be seated. We're the people of God, and the scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives. From Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence, and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in all we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you, and to bring you honour and glory in all we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's say together the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our second hymn is one to be listened to, not sung along with, I'm told. So take a seat, and then I shall press the magic button, and Christ Our Hope will play.
That's why we couldn't sing along. We say this together.
Say again?
We all read that.
Right. We say this together. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Celia is now going to come up and lead us in prayers.
The Collect for the second Sunday in Advent. Let us pray to be made ready for Christ's coming. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warning and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, from whom every good prayer comes, when we draw near to you, save us from coldness of heart and wandering minds, that with steadfast thought and kindled desires we may worship you in the faith and spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, the seasons have turned, the great days grow longer, and it is summer. We long for days of warmth, for seasonal rains, for ripening crops, for freedom from catastrophe, freedom from floods, from fires, from cyclones, freedom from the consequences of our rapacious greed. Strengthen all those who wait with dread for the coming floodwaters, all those who clean out the stinking mud yet again, emergency workers who are so tired after months of vigilance, the scientists whose pleas for a hearing fall on deaf ears. Lord, open our hearts and minds, our pockets and our hands, not just in gratitude for our good fortune, but in thanksgiving for all your gifts and obedience to your command to love our neighbours as ourselves. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks as your church around the world joins in the common purpose of Advent. We sing of holly and ivy, or Christmas bush and dusty plains, as we turn again to the gift of Christmas, your Son, our Saviour, as a helpless babe. Help us in the turmoil to grasp hold with all our strength to the deepest messages of Christmas. A family seeking shelter, shepherds filled with curiosity, travellers bringing gifts for a king, notwithstanding the signpost to his death. May we draw strength from these ancient stories and kindle again the hope we have in you, our Saviour and our King. We pray for all who hear the Christmas story that the small candle of faith may take fire in our lives and theirs, and burn brighter and brighter each day. We pray for strength and courage for all those for whom the candle of faith means persecution. Protect them from harm, from isolation and poverty, and unite them with friends from far away who seek to support and encourage. We thank you for all who have gone out to serve you in the mission field. As Christmas draws in on them, they may be far from all that is familiar. Encourage them as they bring the story of your love and sacrifice to those not yet awake to the hope your message brings. When loneliness or sadness creeps in, fill their hearts with carols of delight and their homes with the joy of friends. We pray for all those across our diocese who by their efforts seek to make the tinkle of sleigh bells into the sound of church bells, and draw people from the crush of Christmas parties to the holy joy of a newborn king. Pour out your redeeming love on Kanishka, our Archbishop. Pour out your redeeming love on Kanishka, our Archbishop, and Chris, our Bishop, that their message may find fertile soils across our region and our diocese. And here in our community, we thank you for the faithful service of Eric, for his patient encouragement and care. Encourage and uphold him and Steve Pym as they prepare for our Christmas services. Thank you for the loving support of Christine and Veronica Pym. Grant to them all peace in their hearts and peace in their homes, and the joy of acceptance by those whom they serve. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen. Lord, we give you thanks for the joy of community, for the comfort of friends and shared activity, for we were made for relationship. You gave us families where we could learn and grow, where we could test the bounds and lick our wounds in safety when we failed. We thank you for lessons learned and shared. We thank you for the knowledge shared in the communities of learning. We thank you for the community of service and the dignity of work. Above all, we thank you for our relationship with you, which is everlasting and eternally faithful. For friends may fail or walk away, but you are at our side even through the valley of death. Families are shattered by sickness and secrets, but you put up no barriers. Work may not be enough, but you are everything we need. Help us to cherish the gifts you give us and the pleasure of our earthly communities, to strive always to honour them and to shape them in the image of your perfect and eternal community until we rest with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray for all who are in trouble, sickness, or any other adversity, especially those who have asked for our prayers. For James, for Rowan Allen, Fleur Fowler, Murray Holmes, Vernon Ireland, Graham Lather, Duncan Lupton, Felicity Purdy, Margaret Roberts, and those whom we keep in our hearts. And so in the words of St. Anselm we pray. God of love, whose passion never fails, we bring before you the troubles and peril of people and nations, the sighing of prisoners and captives, the sorrow of the bereaved, the necessity of strangers, the helplessness of the weak, the despondency of the weary, the failing power of the aged. O Lord, draw near to each for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so as our Lord taught the disciples to pray, we are confident to say,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This week we do have a spot. This week's spot is brought to you by CMS. You may be aware that CMS runs a summer school every year at Katoomba, and due to COVID that's been sort of difficult to do. In fact, it hasn't happened for the last couple of years, and they're coming back with a vengeance. So, and the guy that's speaking is a guy that we had on video leading a Bible study, which we had it on the screens at the back, some people might remember. And so we're going to let these people encourage us to come along.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Hi friends, I'm really pleased to let you know that here at CMS New South Wales ACT we are busy preparing for an on-site summer school 2023 at Katoomba. It will be the first time in 3 years and we're excited. We're looking forward to hearing from Vaughan Roberts as he opens up the book of Hebrews for us, invites us to consider Christ and the gospel imperative for us as God's people to make Christ's name known among the nations. That's what our missionaries are sent out to do, and of course we'll have the opportunity to hear updates from many of them, updates on their work that is made possible through your partnership in the gospel. We look forward to seeing you there.
Let's stand and sing our next hymn, In Christ Alone. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And Leslie will come forth and read the Bible to us.
Only this week it was almost Leslie come forth like Lazarus came forth. So praise God I'm here this morning, and thank you for your prayers this week. You know, when I was preparing for the reading this morning, it struck me what a privilege and a blessing it is for us to have the Word of God. And we take it for granted when there are millions around the world who have never heard the Word of God. This passage we have this morning we've all heard many, many times over. So, Father, I want to thank you for it. And I pray that you would reveal it to our hearts as something fresh and brand new this morning. So the passage is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, and it's on page 555 if you want to follow along in your pew Bible. It's titled, The Righteous Reign of the Coming King. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Harry.
I hope that you're all well today.
Thank you.
You might have noticed from the songs there's a bit of a theme on hope today, and I'm hoping that your hopes weren't dashed this morning. They probably were, like you and the rest of Australia. We were hoping that Australia might win the World Cup in the soccer. That's not going to happen. But in 3 weeks' time, it will be Christmas. Sorry to spring that on you if you didn't know. And I hope that many of us will be in this very building celebrating the birth of our Saviour and Lord. I say hope, but what I mean is that I have a confident assurance that this will happen. Today we are beginning a series of sermons based on the Advent themes of hope, love, joy and peace, which you will see on the screen. And with the last one being our Christmas message. So we're going to work through the Advent themes a week at it, with Advent itself, and Christmas will be the last one on peace. Now, the longer title for each sermon is actually Emmanuel Brings. Emmanuel Brings Hope, Emmanuel Brings Love, Joy, and Emmanuel Brings Peace. Of course, Emmanuel is the name given to Jesus at his birth, and it means
God with us.
Don't have to teach you much. God with us makes my job easy. So we could say God's presence brings hope. God's presence brings love, and joy, and peace. And it is true that God is always with us, but there was a time when God made a physical appearance. And Christmas celebrates the moment in history when God came to be with us. God's purpose in sending Jesus was to make it possible for us to be with him forever. And that is our Christian hope. Today we want to think about what it means to say Emmanuel brings hope. But before we do that, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, each week we come and ask that you will open our eyes that we may see your truth, that you would open our minds that we might understand it, that you would open our hearts that we might receive it, and that by the power of your Spirit you would help us to apply it to our lives. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me begin with my conclusion, then I'll tell you how I got there, in case you fall asleep in between. My conclusion is, Emmanuel doesn't just bring us hope. He is our hope. Emmanuel doesn't just bring us hope. He is our hope. Now, when do we use the word hope? Well, generally speaking, we use it when we desire a change in our circumstances. During a drought, we hope for rain. During a flood, we hope for sunny skies. During a war, we hope for peace. We don't normally hope for something that we already have or that we can already achieve in our own strength. We generally hope for things that are outside of our control or ability, like winning the World Cup. I think that's what Paul meant when he said in Romans 8, "Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen?" I think we hope for what we can't see or what we can't make happen by our own power and strength. And yet there are actually two ways that we can use the word hope. We can hope for something, or we can hope in someone. There was a time in one game in particular, or in most games I say, we would put our hope in the goalkeeper, especially on those penalty shootouts. All hope is in the one person. There may be some overlap between hope and faith and trust. These are all things that we can place in someone. In the Old Testament, Israel was meant to hope in God. Jeremiah 17:13 describes Yahweh as the Lord, the hope of Israel. From a wider biblical perspective, God is the only hope for the people of the whole world. And Paul reminds the Christians in Ephesus that before they came to Christ, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. For without God, we are without hope. We are in a hopeless circumstance, and we cannot change our circumstance by our own power. We can hope for change, but some things will only change when we put our hope in God. It's a case of wishful thinking versus confident trust. Take our passage from Isaiah 9, for example, that we had read this morning. It was written in the context of impending doom, the invasion of Assyria on the northern tribes of Israel. The consistent failure of Israel to put their faith, hope, and trust in God meant that their hope for escape from conflict was only wishful thinking on their part. The gloom and doom of Assyrian conquest did fall upon them. But before, or perhaps as that happened, God spoke these words of hope through his prophet Isaiah. The words we had read, Isaiah 9 from verse 1. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Talk about wishful thinking. Prophesying the religious prominence of Galilee would be like predicting the prominence of Blacktown or Redfern in the property market. It is unlikely. Galilee didn't feature much in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we find Matthew, quoting Isaiah 9, still referring to it as Galilee of the Gentiles. And remember the response of Nathanael when Philip told him about Jesus? In John 1:45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's part of Galilee, isn't it? Nothing happens in Galilee." And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Centuries earlier, Isaiah said, "Something good will come from Galilee." Isaiah describes this good as a light shining in the darkness. And Jesus, we know, described himself as the light of the world. And he told his followers, "Let your light shine." And Paul would later say that we shine like stars in the moral darkness of this world. Someone has said that when we become followers of Jesus, it's like God recreates us as beautiful stained glass windows through which his light shines to others. And so we are meant to both experience and express the joy of receiving this light. And Isaiah said back in his passage, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. And you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. And they rejoice before you with joy, as with joy at the harvest, or as people exult when dividing plunder." Now, what is the reason for this joy? Well, Isaiah describes it in terms of military conquest. In verse 4, "For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire." It's over. The conflict's over. We can rejoice. How will such a victory be achieved, though? And Isaiah tells us it begins with the birth of a son. Consider the importance of that concept in the religious history of Israel. God's promise to Abraham began to be fulfilled in the birth of a son, Isaac. Not this Isaac, the other one. God's promise to rescue his people, who were slaves in Egypt, began to be fulfilled in the birth of a son, Moses. Now God's promise to save the world will begin to be fulfilled at the birth of his son, God's son, Jesus. As Isaiah said, "For a child has been born to us, a son has been given. Authority rests on his shoulders. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah may have been hoping for a more contemporary hero to rescue Israel from the Assyrians, but God had other plans. The prophecy encouraged God's people to hope for someone that they could hope in as the solution to their problem. Now, as Christians today, we no longer need to hope for God's solution to all our problems because he's already come. We only need to hope in Jesus, who is the solution to all our problems. When Isaiah wrote his prophecy of hope, he wrote it in the present tense for his audience. Even though he says the Lord of hosts will do this at some point, he didn't know when that point would be. So he wrote in the present tense for them. God's gift of hope is meant to help us through the difficulties of our present life. Hope reminds us that God is still working when life is not as it should be. There is a present benefit to placing our hope in God, even when what we hope for may only be realized in the distant future. The hope that Isaiah describes will ultimately be realized in Jesus Christ. God will intervene and rescue his people by sending his son to be born on earth. Our hope today is that this same Jesus will ultimately rescue us when he returns. But why did God choose to be born as a human being in order to save us? Have you ever thought about that or asked that? Why could not he who created the heavens out of nothing with just a word have been able to rescue us and save us with just a word? Jesus did it once. He healed a centurion's servant who was sick. He said, you don't have to come to my house, just say the word. He'll be healed. And Jesus said the word and he was healed. Why couldn't the God who can create a universe with a word just say the word and rescue his people? Well, we read in the beginning of John's Gospel that Jesus is the Word of God and that the Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus would rescue his people with a word, his word. Jesus is both fully God and fully human, which is why Isaiah can ascribe to this newly born child the attributes of God himself. Authority is on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But if God is already and always the sovereign ruler of the universe, how can Isaiah say that his authority shall grow continually? It's a strange phrase to say about a sovereign Lord. I compare this to the image that Jesus gave of how his kingdom, in other words, his authority, would grow on earth. It would be like a mustard seed that grows into a tree where the birds, or his reference to the nations really, would come and nest. As his kingdom grows, so does his authority on earth grow. Isaiah then makes another strange statement which would have been hard for his readers to understand. He said, "And there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom." Well, this is obviously not what happened to David's kingdom on earth. They were sent into exile. It's sort of the opposite. But it will be achieved in the kingdom of heaven, where the king is the descendant of David. It will be achieved in the kingdom of heaven, and that will be forever. It will be endless peace. How will it be achieved? It says he will establish, set it up, and uphold it, sustain it, with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Now we have to go back and work out what's going on here. We, as human beings, sinful human beings, cannot enter the presence of a holy and perfect God if we are not holy and perfect ourselves. And as the Bible tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if that's true, there can be no one worthy of being in the kingdom. And if there are no people in the kingdom, then there can be no kingdom. For by definition, the king is someone who rules over his subjects. So the question remains, How does this prophesied child establish and uphold endless peace for the throne of David and for God's kingdom? Well, God's justice requires a penalty for sin. God's righteousness requires that those who enter into his presence are also righteous. The Bible reminds us that, as we said this morning, when we confess our sins, our God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When Jesus dies on the cross, he pays the penalty for our sin. Our sin is transferred onto him, and his righteousness is transferred onto us. We can therefore now approach God's throne of grace with confidence, the Bible says, and remain in his presence, enjoying endless peace with God forever. This is true both now and forever because Jesus died once and for all. It doesn't have to be done again. It won't fade out, or warranty won't run out. We no longer hope for salvation because we put our hope in Jesus, who is our salvation. Like the people of Isaiah's day, we may be experiencing fear or worry or anxiety, perhaps even a sense of hopelessness. God offers us hope in the person of Jesus. It is our hope in Jesus. Our hope in Jesus doesn't mean the removal of our current suffering, but it does allow us to wait for our ultimate salvation with joy and full assurance and confidence. As the writer to the Hebrews says in 11 verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance and conviction are nothing like wishful thinking. Our sure and certain hope comes from a faith that is based on the facts of history, coupled with our personal experience of the life-changing power of God's Holy Spirit. Hoping in Jesus is not like stepping out onto thin ice, forever wondering if it will keep supporting your weight. Our hope is in the promise of a God who never changes, a God whose steadfast love never fails, and from whose love and presence we can never be separated. Paul says this to the Colossian Christians, Colossians 1 from verse 21, and you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard. When people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they hear a promise of hope. Paul describes the gospel as a glorious mystery, and he defines that mystery as Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:10, we have our hope set on the living God. Our hope is not wishful thinking, but daily walking with a risen Saviour. In Hebrews 6:18, Christians are strongly encouraged to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope, says the writer, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain. Strange words. Well, you've heard the phrase, seize the day. Here we're encouraged to seize the hope. Daily take it on and use it, enjoy it, use it in its full benefit. When we seize the hope set before us in Jesus, it keeps us from drowning in doubt. Our hope acts like an anchor that stops us drifting away from our faith. Our hope operates like a backstage pass, giving us privileged access to God the Father. This hope, he says, enters the inner shrine behind the curtain, which, if you know your temple history, is a reference to the Holy of Holies, that sacred place in the temple where only the high priest could enter once a year, and which had a huge curtain to separate the people from the symbolic presence of God, that curtain that was torn when Jesus died. And now, because of our hope in Christ and in what he has done for us, we are able to approach God with confidence instead of fear and doubt and shame. And if our hope is merely wishing for release from fear and doubt and shame, then we may never find certainty or assurance or peace. But by putting our hope in Jesus, we can gain assurance of eternal peace with God. He doesn't just bring light into our darkness. He is the light that shines in our darkness. And the darkness will never overcome it. Jesus can bring us from our darkness into his light. He can bring us from death to eternal life. I said at the start that we would reach this conclusion. Emmanuel doesn't just bring us hope. He is our hope. And this is one of the messages of Advent which has remained relevant for centuries. Next week we'll look at another relevant Advent message. Emmanuel brings love. But may this season of Advent help to remind us of these truths, and may God's Holy Spirit empower us to live with confidence in the reality of them. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing our next and final hymn, O Come Emmanuel.
It may have pauses in different spaces to what we're normally used to.
Thank you. Please be seated. Next up, notices.
Just as well, you're sitting down. Some good magazines. I hope you love to read. The New Eternity magazine has come through. Pass that around, read it, pass it around. The New Southern Cross has come through, and in there is a nice little graph. If you like graphs, it's brilliant because the really big lines on the graph, the really important things that we should be doing as priorities in the church, are things that I think we are doing here. Spiritual growth, sense of community, worship services that are nurturing. All of these things, I think, we can say, well, it might be a small church, but I think we're getting it right.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged by your presence here to make that happen. So grab that, have a read through it. I have, I'll do those ads there. The Christmas service is coming up, Christmas Day, 5 p.m, our usual one here, combined with the Prezi Church. Steve Pym will be preaching this year. Christmas Day, 9 o'clock here, Holy Communion. Can I have the next one? We've seen the summer school video, so you know about that. And in January, we'll be doing a series, Living Under the Lordship of Christ. One of our preachers is sitting at the back, and we're going to get him to come up and say something just in a minute, so you can get ready for that. And was there another one? Oh, yes, that's this one. In January, and it'll slip over into February as well, is a prayer course that Imogen has put us onto, and she will be leading the first part in January. Leslie might be following it on into February for the remainder of it. We have a lot of people who have been wanting it and been saying they're interested in it. Now's the time to put your name down on the list so we can know if it's going to be a goer or not, because January is an interesting time with people coming and going. So that will be at the back for a couple of weeks. Put your name on it if you want to be part of that. It'll happen after church. There'll be a video and some talking and maybe a salad lunch or something like that that she thought they would do together. So that was Imogen's idea. So if you want to learn to pray, there's a course that goes through the Lord's Prayer, and it should be very, very encouraging. So I ask you to consider that and commit yourself to it. Sometimes in the seats in front of you, if they're not all missing, are some prayer cards, connect cards. That's what we use to help you communicate with us about what prayer points you might want mentioned in the service or in the bulletin, or on our website. And if you go to the website, you'll see prayer points for the parish. There'll be updates when the prayers are answered, so we can remember to give thanks to God for listening to and answering our prayers. And there is also another spot there under the events that where sometimes community events happen. And one of the community events that Russ has asked me to advertise is his participation in the choir, the One Voice Choir that's
Eric,
happening.
No. You did the message this morning? Maybe just two. Maybe it's two, not cows, the rest of cows.
All right. So at the coal loader is the artisan markets. And
yeah, the markets, they go from 3 to 8. That's the sort of thing.
But the choir will be singing from 5:15. And they'll be doing some mostly Christmas carols apart from two.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Right, that's what you heard. So if you're out and about the coal loader, there's some Christmas spirit you can get into there as well, and maybe pick up a bargain at a market. I think that's it. Now I'm going to get...
Well, I was just going to say it was a great time yesterday. Thank you for the ladies who came along for morning tea, and the next time will be in February. We're trying to do this the first 7.
Cool. Excellent. Yes, we really enjoyed that. As you're coming up, we'll have another one.
Because we rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yes.
Marilee has not made it here this morning, but last night her team, the tribe, with her as a significant pert, won the review.
Ah.
And so 3 cheers. And the heroes who've been using our hall downstairs to rejoice came second. So,
nice.
But particularly for Marilee, it was a wonderful evening. Seeing her dancing up on the stage was wonderful.
Wonderful. Thanks to all who supported Toys and Tucker. That will be collected on Thursday the 8th, so this week. So last chance for final contributions to that. Now, and...
Did I say 3 to 5? 3 to 8 the market. Did I say 3 to 5?
No,
3 to 8.
3 to 8.
I'm just making sure.
Yep,
you're right. This afternoon.
Yeah. That's today, yes. Sorry, I meant to say today. Now, we have Isaac here, not a stranger to us. But and he'll be coming back to preach in January. That's still the goer?
That's right.
That's still right. But you have some other things that have been going on in your life. We've been supporting you in different endeavours, MTS, as it was called.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
Can you give us an update and tell us what God is doing in your life now?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. So as Eric mentioned, I've been doing MTS, which is Ministry Training Strategy. And it's a program where you can work full-time as a ministry apprentice for a church. And I've been working up at Port Macquarie at the Point Community Church with Beth, my wife, and just had a baby, Wesley, who you can all meet later. And my role has been working as the youth pastor at the church up there. There's been some really exciting things that have been going on in that space. We have a youth group of about 60 to 80 people that come along. And it's been really exciting seeing teenagers inviting their friends. A few weeks ago, we had 5 new people just come along who were invited by their friend and have stuck around. And even a couple of them asked for Bibles so they could read God's word in between youth, which is really cool. And we've also got a bunch of youth leaders that I've been helping to mentor and grow in their faith as well. And so those have been some really positive things that have come out of the year. I wanted to thank you all for your support and your prayers over the year. It's been really encouraging to know that you guys are behind us and supporting us. And I'm sure that your prayers have been helping a lot of good things to happen with the youth group. For Beth and I just wanted to let you know that we've been praying and thinking a lot about next year. And one of the things that being in ministry has really showed me is all the opportunities that you have both in ministry and as a layperson to tell people about Jesus and to live for God's glory. And so next year we've decided to go back to being a criminal lawyer and his wife, but continuing in ministry. So we'll continue to youth group, continue to help out at church and lead a Bible study. And I think that is... One part of it is wanting to live most for God's glory and to be able to see the opportunities to work for God in that area. And the other has been the full-on intensity of ministry has been something that we've sort of wrestled with and loved for this season. But while we're having young kids and that kind of thing, we've decided that full-time employment and lay ministry is the way to go for us for the meantime. But we're still thinking about and praying about going into ministry or maybe college someplace down the track or even doing something like missionary work too in the future. But yeah, thank you very much for your support over this year. I'm looking forward to coming back on the 1st of January to preach to you. And yeah, so I just wanted to say that and let you know what's going on.
So here, we'll pray for you. Don't worry, only the toughest can survive ministry. That's why I'm struggling. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your grace and mercy, your gifts and abilities that you've given us to serve you. We thank you for Isaac and for Beth and Wesley. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that they are and that you've been to them and that they are now to others. We do pray that you'll continue to lead and guide them, strengthen and encourage them, give them wisdom and guidance to know how best to serve you. Let them see the opportunities that you want to bring before them and to use them to bring glory to you and people into your kingdom. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. One last notice. Next Sunday at 6 p.m, Lankhove Plaza, the Lankhove churches put on an annual carol service, carols and prayers. Lankhove concert band will be playing there, including Sharon and myself. So come along and join in the carol services if you wish. Let us say this final prayer together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
That's the one to say there's morning tea, and then there's another press after that.
That's the one?
That's the one.
Right.
Beautiful.